Okay, tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by Ben Yael Englander. It was closer for Shlema for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. I wanted to finish up last night's topic first before we move on to the new topic. Again, still within the world of Bishul Akum, which as I was preparing today, I realized we're going to be in that world for longer than I anticipated. But I want to finish up the 4 Aleph packet. Bishul Akum B'Coffee, that packet first. It's come to my attention that there are people that don't know how coffee is made, and especially those who don't drink coffee, and therefore were confused by the entire discussion. Essentially, the coffee bean is a bean like any other, I mean, not like any other bean, it's more awesome than any other bean, but it's a bean that looks like any other bean I don't know how it was discovered, but someone once discovered that if you just eat it, it tastes pretty bitter and disgusting. But if you roast it and then you grind it up really, really fine, and then you have hot water percolating in it for a while, and the water comes through, the water is going to have this amazing flavor and be totally caffeinated and be fantastic. So that is how coffee is made. So the whole discussion relating to Bishul Akum on coffee is obviously about the fact that, not that he's cooking water for you, water you're allowed to have cooked for you. That fits into the heter of Shamitz Nechel Kamo Shulchai. Water is edible raw. The coffee bean, however, and certainly the ground up coffee beans, are not edible raw. Now, it is true that there are some coffee lovers that are so enamored with coffee that they will sometimes take the bean and munch on the bean itself. I've seen people do that.
There are chocolate-covered coffee beans.
Chocolate-covered coffee beans, right. But I did the Ask OU program one summer about, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, and they took us to different places that the OU gave hashkacha on, and they took us to a coffee place, a place that produced flavored coffees and different types of roasted coffees. And one of the guys in our program was from somewhere in Europe, where they take coffee very seriously, apparently. And he was going around to each bag, picking up a bean from each bag, tasting the beans, telling us how good the coffee was going to be. The answer was not very good, but he was actually tasting the beans. And he said, we looked at him like he was crazy. He's like, yeah, sure, this is. So there are people that do that, but generally speaking, we assume that a coffee bean is not nechal kamo shulchai. It's not something that's really edible raw. But once you cook it up, so now it makes delicious coffee. So the question becomes, is it a problem of Bishul Akum when a guy cooks coffee for you? Now, again, you're not eating the bean. You're eating the water that is now flavored with the bean, or drinking the water that's now flavored with the bean. But nevertheless, that's the shaila, that since it's the water has changed its entire mahus, it's no longer water, now it's coffee. So that's the shaila. So I wanted to just finish up that discussion before we begin our discussion about Jewish participation in the cooking, and to what extent Jewish participation in the cooking saves us from Bishul Akum. So we were in the middle of discussing the Tshuvas Marsham. The Tshuvas Marsham, which was in source number 18 in the packet, came up with what I said is 4 kulas, is really 3 kulas. 3 kulas that he wants to suggest as to why coffee is not a problem. So kula number 1 was, we said last night, that he says it's not all al shulchan malachim, that al shulchan malachim they're not going to have not that it's not al shulchan malachim, it's not al shulchan malachim lafis ba'asapas. That if you hold that Ola al Shulchan Malachim is not enough, but it needs to also be something that's a lafes basapas that goes together along with bread, well, coffee doesn't go with bread. Coffee goes with cake or with something. So that would be different. Now, there's a lot to be done on that kula. First of all, do you really need it to be lafes basapas? We saw Machlok Rishonim. We pointed out last night Machlok Rishonim whether it really needs to be lafes basapas, or that's lav dafka. And the main point is that it just needs to be ola al shulchan lachem. Even if it does need to be lafes basapas, does it need to be? What if it's lafes basapas ababikisnin? Right, it's used as a something that goes together very nicely with pasababikisnin, with cakes. with things like that. So is that enough to be considered lafis posapas, that someone would have for breakfast? It's a very normal thing for a person to have for breakfast, waffles and a coffee. On a breakfast menu in any fast food place in this country, you'll have a special that will have, I don't know, in Dunkin' Donuts, you'll have a bagel with whatever, with eggs and coffee for whatever it is. 10 cents cheaper than it would otherwise be if you bought it separately, not with the special, right? That's it's always assumed that it does go together. So that kula is a little bit difficult, because even if you assume you need lafis posapas, it's not so pasha that coffee is not lafis posapas. Now you don't smear it on the bread or anything like that, but it does go together as part of the meal. So that was heter number one. Heter number two he had is that isur bishule goyim. Who rak b'mashe mevashen la'achila kigon shecher chadome v'lo amashe yeh l'shtia. Bishalakim doesn't apply for things that are meant as shtia, only for things that are meant as achila. So beer would be subject to bishalakim if not for the special heterim we have for beer, because that's really meant la'achila, but coffee is meant l'shtia. I mentioned yesterday I have no idea what that line means, and in what way coffee is more l'shtia than beer is. I still don't know what that line means, but I just wanted to come back to something that it just sparked in my mind, the piece that Rav Schechter has in Be'ikvei Hatzon. So I made some photocopies of it, just because I thought some might be interested in it. It's a little off topic, but yeah, 10 copies of this. Close to enough, yeah.
Maybe it means that I'm saying it's drink more than beer, coffee. It could possibly be that, no?
What do you mean? That people drink it more frequently?
Yeah.
First of all, that's not true, because they used to drink beer as their primary drink. We learned that at some point in Shir this year. I learned that, because I forgot what the topic was. You remember this? You were discussing something about beer and how one of those to Caleb said, like, it's impossible, you can't live without beer, and I thought that was crazy, and Greeny said, well, actually, in ancient, whatever, and he said, they all they had was beer. Remember this? Okay, so apparently beer was, like, the number one drink. Yeah. Right. Imagine, like, the whole world being Yankee Stadium. Like, it's all, that's the number one drink. Yeah.
Is it possible, like we said before, that beer actually has pieces of hops or whatever, or it is mixed in with the hops, as opposed to coffee, which just has the water that percolates?
And that's why the beer is considered a Michael and the coffee is considered... It could be that's what he means. I wouldn't buy it if that's what... I mean, I certainly don't... Right, it's not... I don't get the svara.
Like, coffee is like a pick-me-up. It's like you need caffeine, so you have coffee. It's more of a drink. Like, that's when it's supposed to beer. Like, oh, you have a beer.
So now, I would agree with that chilek in the exact opposite way, right? Something that you're going to drink because you're thirsty. Beer happens to be a very, very refreshing drink, and it happens to be, I'm told, I'm not a big beer drinker, but they say that it's like, on a hot day when you're, you know, to have a cold beer is like very, very refreshing. Certainly the commercials say so. So as opposed to coffee, like you said, is really more, you're trying to achieve a certain goal when you drink coffee. You're not drinking it. So that would make coffee less of a drink. You know what? Okay. Well, beer is not quenching? I think it's a...
No, it's refreshing. It's not quenching.
No, it's an instant.
What?
There's an refreshing.
Okay, you're actually, it's a very good segue into Rav Schechter's piece. Now that you mentioned that chilek, it's mamish Rav Schechter's chilek, except in the opposite direction, and also except that he's not being mechalek between beer and coffee, he's being mechalek between drinks in general. Like, how do we define what's a mashke and what's a meichel? So if you look on page Mem in Be'ikvei Hatzon, he points out a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Mashka habal l'tocha ochel ka ochel dami le'inyan kabbalas tuma." That if you have a mashka that's inside of food, it has a din of food in regards to kabbalas tuma. The halacha is that in order for food to become tameh, it has to first become huchshar le'kabal tuma. It has to come into contact with one of the liquids, with one of the primary liquids. But a mashka that comes into contact with food is now going to take on that status of food. And Rav Schechter explains, "V'hainu taima." The achilik shvein ochlin lemashkin leinyan kabbalas tuma Einenu bein davar gush le davar nozel. That the chilek between mashkin and ochel, when it comes to Kabbalah stoma, is not a chilek between a solid and a liquid. That's not how we define food and drink. Ela bein davar sha'omed l'shtia, beverage bela'az, l'davar sha'omed la'achila. The chilek is between something that you would have as a beverage and something that you would have as a food. And he says it's meferish and tosos like this, that for instance, chalav isha, right, if a woman is nursing, the milk that comes out of a woman, mashkehu ve'ein sarach hechsher, so Tosa says that that which it goes into the tinok, and the tinok is yonek from it, that it's considered, it should be considered like an ochel and should need hechsher. So, because Tosa says that the havamina is, the reason to believe it should be considered an ochel, lefi shezehu ma'achalo shel tinok, because that's the maichel of the tinok. So what does that mean? So what? It's liquid, it's milk, why should it be considered a meichel just because zeu ma'achalo shel tinok? So he says what you see is that depending on how it's consumed, that's going to determine whether it has a din of a beverage or a din of an ochel. And since the baby gets all of its sustenance from it, which is not a normal thing to get from a beverage, so that, let's say a person blends all their food, they don't have teeth, or they can't chew, or whatever. A friend of mine just had surgery on his jaw, where his jaw was wired shut for like 6 months, or 6 weeks, and he had to, they poke out a tooth in the front, and you stick a straw in, and that's how you eat. Yeah, it's pretty, it's as painful as it sounds. And they just, you know, they totally blend up all your food, and that's how you eat. So you're gonna say everything has a sheer revius now, because it's all a mashka. So Shek says pashut that it's not so, and he quotes Rav Elchanan Maseches Beitza that what about an egg, a raw egg, mashka or meichel? It's liquid, right? It takes the shape of its container. Mashka or meichel, so it's a meichel. Why? Because you don't drink it as a mashka. Even Rocky, when he takes the raw eggs, you know, whatever, the chazan that takes the raw eggs, he's not drinking it as a mashka. He's not drinking it as a beverage, as a refreshing beverage. He's taking it as a meichel. And he says the same is true. He has a raya also from a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Tzir sha'al gaba yarak mitztaref l'kikoseves biyom ha-kipurim. That the sauce on a vegetable is mitztarif to the shear of a koseves on Yom HaKippurim. When it comes to the iser of achila on Yom Kippur, when you chayv kares, so the shear is a koseves, which is a very small shear, and the juices are mitztarif together with the food itself. The Gemara says, pshita, why would I think otherwise? Answers Gemara, ma'u detema mashkuhu, kamashmulan kalach shuri uchla uchlahu. You might have thought it's a mashka. No, kolach shuri uchla uchlahu. So says Rav Shach, what does the Gemara mean to say? That since you're eating it as a food, even though enochinami, it is a liquid, it's going to have a din of a meichel. Doesn't make a difference whether it's a liquid or a solid. It makes a difference whether you would consume it as a liquid or consume it. So I was thinking, all of his examples are examples of things that are a liquid that really have a din of a meichel. Can you think of an example of something that's a solid that would have a din of a mashke? Right? So I was thinking, if you have sorbet or something like that, which is clearly taken, you take it when you're thirsty or your mouth is dry or whatever, it's much more of a refreshing mashke type of thing. But it comes in the shape of a meichel, right? It's made as a solid. L'chora, according to this shtickel Torah, that should have a shir revis, should have all the halachos of a mashke, not the halachos of a meichel. And he says, based on this, we could be miyashev the kasha of the minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf memches. Because minchas chinuch asks, in mitzvah kuf memches, why it is that sometimes we say the shir of dam, of achilas dam, is a shir kezayis like achila, and sometimes we, the Rambam says the shear of dam is berevius. Why would he sometimes say kezayis, sometimes berevius? Well, dam is not a normal thing to drink in any case. You know, vampires are all the rage right now, but dam is not not a normal thing to drink anyway. But depend, Rav Shakta suggests, maybe depending on what you're drinking it as would determine whether it's a meichel or a mashke. And I looked up that minchas chinuch. It's a little bit difficult for me to understand what Rav Shakta is talking about over here, because minchas chinuch doesn't just ask why is dam sometimes described as a meichel and sometimes as a mashke, sometimes as kezai, sometimes as revias. But the minchas chinuch is much more precise in this question. What he asks is that the Rambam, when he talks about the shear of how much dam you have to eat in order to be chayiv for achilas dam, he says you have to eat a kezayis across the board, right? But when he talks about how what the shear of the amount of time within which you're supposed to eat that kazayis, so normally when it comes to food, ma'achalos asuros, eat a kazayis of nevela or trefa or whatever. So if you eat the kazayis within how much time are you chayiv? Kazayis, or for a mitzvah, right? You want to eat a kazayis of matzah. How much time do you have to eat the kazayis of matzah? Bikdei achilas pras. You have the amount of time that it would take to eat a pras, which is much, much larger than a kazayis, right, to eat that kazayis. So you can eat the kazayis very, very slowly and still, you know, berevach, be able to finish it with a kadei achilas pras. That's where Shachter always screams that people rush eating their matzahs and end up choking, and there's no reason for it, because you have the whole time of kadei. However big your kazayis is, your kadei achilas pras keeps getting bigger, you know, because the kadei achilas pras is a function, the sheer pras is a function of the sheer kazayis. What is it, 6 times the kazayis, something like that, 8 times, I forget exactly how it works out. But it's a lot more than the amount of time that it would take to eat a kazayis. But anyway, when the Rambam describes the isra of eating dam, he says, you're not allowed to eat a kazayis of dam. When he talks about how much time you have to eat that kazayis within in order to be chayiv, he says, shir revius, the amount of time it takes to drink a revius. Why would it be a shir revius if the isser is an isser in achila? Right? That's what the Minchas Chinuch asks. I'm not sure how this shtickel Torah answers that question. Right? So Rav Shachter says that this answers the kash of the Minchas Chinuch. I don't really see how. Okay, but still, it doesn't ruin the whole shtickel Torah. And he says, based on this, is what we were referring to last night. He says, based on that, we can discuss the minhag ha'olam that many people have, that they'll make kiddush on Shabbos morning on schnapps, right? On yayin saruf is what the Hebrew word for schnapps. So he says, why? Because in the Sefer Sharei Rachamim of Rav Chaim Voloshiner, Os Mem Tes, he wonders why people make Kiddush on Shabbos morning on schnapps. Now, obviously, they know it doesn't have a din of yayin, so what do they assume it has a din of? When you make Kiddush, if it's not on yayin, it has to be on Chmar Medina. So obviously, they assume that yayin saruf has a status of Chmar Medina, that it's considered to be the beverage of the country, a dignified beverage in this country. And exactly how to translate Chmar Medina and understand it is a whole different topic, but Rav Chaim Voloshiner asks, how does that work? That's like making Kiddush on soup, saying that, you know, French onion soup is Chmar Medina. It's not. It's a Meichel. It's not a Mashke. He says it doesn't make sense. So he says, what's Rav Chaim Voloshiner asking? He says, clearly what he's asking is that when you're determining whether something's a Meichel or a Mashke, you don't look at whether it's a liquid or a solid. You look, and this is true, Bein Benogel, the Dinam Daraisa, like the Melach of Dash on Shabbos, and Shir Achila B'Yom HaKippurim, and Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah, or Bein L'Dinam D'Rabbanon, like Dinam of Birch Sanenin, like what bracha do you make on coffee? Do you view coffee as a Meichel, or do you view coffee as a Mashke? Right? So we make a bracha. If it's a Mashke, you would definitely make a shahakal. If it's a meichel, then maybe you would make a ha'etz or something on the because of the beans, right? So how do you view coffee? So we view it as, he says, davar pashut, as a mashke, and therefore it's davar pashut that the bracha is shahakal when we drink coffee. So what would yayin saruf be? So he says, Chaim Voloshiner seems to be saying yayin saruf, meaning schnapps, liquor, scotch, whatever, would all have a din of a machel. Why? You don't drink it when you need to be refreshed. You don't drink it when you're thirsty. You drink it when you want to be in a certain state of mind. It's a totally different... It's not used as a beverage. He's assuming the default position is whatever is not used as a beverage has a din of a meichel. Meaning one could have argued anything not used to fill your stomach has a din of a beverage, right? And this is used for neither. It's used not to fill your stomach, nor is it used to refresh you or to, but he's assuming that the din of a beverage would be, the din of a mashka would be something that's used to refresh, and anything that's not would automatically have a din of a machal. And he says, in fact, the Kasha Glover uses that to explain why when people make schnapps, make kiddush on schnapps, why they use such tiny little cups, those little shot glasses only have 1 ounce. That's nobody's shir revius. So how are you yotze kiddush on something that's so much less than a shir of a revius? How could they possibly be Yotze Kiddush? So this is an age-old question, because this has been a practice for many, many years. So the Kasha Glover said, no, that's Dafka the Vart. Because it's a Meichel, you don't need Shir Revius. You only need Shir Kazayis, because it's a Meichel. So the Shir Kazayis could be that the 1 ounce cup is a Shir Kazayis. So maybe it's definitely not a Revius, but it might be a Kazayis. So maybe that's what people are Somechan when they make the Kiddush on the 1 ounce schnapps cup. So Rav Shachter just points out that if that's the heter, it's the worst heter ever. Because he says There are two issues with making the Kiddush on the Shnaps. One is it's the wrong drink, and two is that it's the wrong shear. It's the wrong amount. So in terms of the wrong drink, how do we get out of it? We say it's Chamar Medina, so it's not the wrong drink. In terms of the wrong shear, we say it's a Meichel. If it's a Meichel, it's only a shear Kazayas. What's the definition of Chamar Medina? So Chamar Medina means the beverage that's commonly drunk in a dignified way, or that you would be Mechavid people, or whatever the exact definition. The first word of whatever definition you have is beverage. So if you're going to say that it's a Meichel, by definition it can't be Chamar Medina. Just like soup can't be Chamar Medina. It doesn't matter how covetic it is or how popular it is. It just would lose its entire status of Chamar Medina. And he says, just one last point, he points out, Rav Moshe Yardei Chelik Aleph, on pages Kuv Zayin through Kuv Yud, has major tshuvas. If I'm not mistaken, these are the tshuvas he writes to Rabbi Teitz about blended whiskeys. Rav Moshe was known to, on his birthday, take a shot of a blended whiskey. He enjoyed a little, celebratory shot of a blended whiskey. And Rabbi Teitz, Zichrono Livracha, held very strongly that the blended whiskeys were aser. So he tried to convince Rav Moshe to aser blended whiskey. So there are like several tshuvas back and forth. Rabbi Teitz says that it's aser. Rav Moshe says, no, I still think it's mutter. Rabbi Teitz says, yeah, what about this? It's still aser. At least a bal nefesh be machmir maybe. And Rav Moshe's like, maybe, but I don't know. I still think it's mutter. He just wouldn't be convinced. Back and forth. Obviously, I'm oversimplifying the tshuvas. These are pages amongst major Talmidei Chachamim. But Rav Moshe, part of the discussion is that what's a blended whiskey? So what does it mean it's a blend? It means that it's yayin saruf, that has some yayin or tam yayin mixed in there. That they'll either put some minor amount of yayin or at least put it in sherry casks, or where they age it in barrels that are wine barrels and therefore give off some level of tam yayin. So Rav Moshe writes that even though Yayin shenasayv b'shar mashkim, he said me'ikar adin, we paskin that yayin that gets mixed with shar mashkim is batel not b'shishim but b'sheish. It's batel b'sheish. As long as you have six times the yayin sarf that you have of yayin, it's good enough. So he says even though stam yayinim that's misayv yayin sarf should also be misbatel b'dievet at least b'sheish. So he uses that as one of his major sniffim lahakel. But Rav Shechta says, but if you buy our whole presentation of things, that whole heter falls out the window, right? Because the whole heter is based on the fact that yayin, although in order to be mevatel, you need shishim, but if it's you're being mevatel in another drink, you only need sheish. So you're being mevatel in whiskey, it also only needs sheish. But that's not true if you hold that whiskey as a din of meichel, right? If you hold it as a din of meichel, you still need shishim. So why do I mention this? Because the Marsham wanted to say that when it comes to Bishalakum, the coffee is going to have a din of a shtia, but beer is going to have a din of a meichel. So it reminded me of this a little bit, but it doesn't seem to fit. Meaning, if anything, coffee would have more of a din of a meichel, like you were saying before, because you achieve some sort of state of mind. But beer, which is more of a refreshing kind of drink, one would imagine, and was their primary drink, so one would imagine, would have more of a din of a mashke. So that doesn't really help us explain this line of the Marsham. It's just stam a good idea.
Why don't you say that it's the same thing as
done? Why don't you say
that this schnapps is the same thing as done? That it's still, it's a sheer, the sheer achila, it's considered a mashke, but the sheer achila.
Why would you say that though? Meaning dam is a halbitzar. Why would you create
itself,
right? So until we understand that, to just throw it in the same category.
Yeah, why not?
It could be dam is a different in the Meiri says in a couple of places that every time the Gemara says that dam is a big zayis, which is often a Gemara. Gemara says like this. So the Meiri very often adds in the word karush, that dam karush is big zayis, that congealed blood. It could be the how easily congealed blood becomes. You leave it for even a short while, and it becomes congealed. So it could be that's why it loses its din of a mashke, and the shear is because the way one ingests it could be right. So that could be part of the idea, which wouldn't apply obviously for beer. Okay, so that is kula number, what was it? Number two that the Marsham had for coffee. Kula number three, says the Marsham, again back in source number 18, he says, V'od shahakafe Kvar tsluya ukluya mikodem shetachnua. It's roasted before they grind it up. Remember I described how they make coffee? They roast the beans first. That's so they have French roast and this roast and that, right? Dark roast. They roast the beans first and then they grind up the beans and make the coffee kernels, whatever, the grains. Va'az mutarim shein nechal kain v'shuvena b'shaloser. So he wants tainas like this. At the time that it's first roasted, it's definitely mutar, even though a guy roasted it. Why? Because it's not edible yet. So it's mutar. It's not considered that the guy has fixed it. So since at that time it's mutar, when you then grind it up and try to be mevashal it afterwards, the bishul is not going to do anything to it because it's already been cooked. So once it's cooked once, to cook it again is like an ein bishul achar sli type of thing, that it's not going to be considered a new bishul. The guy did the original bishul, the original tzli, yeah, but that tzli didn't answer it. And that was the key time to look at it. Yeah.
So where do you draw the line when it comes to like different levels of cooking? If the guy puts it on the flame, takes it off, puts it on, takes it off, puts
yeah,
it on.
So then we're going to see, well, this is going to be a major problem. This kula is not so pashut at all. First of all, what's the real kula? If the guy, if a Jew cooked it, let's say, to machal ben drusai, or let's say it was already cooked to machal ben drusai, so then a guy does the rest, so we're makel. Right? We're going to see that in Shulchan Aruch. But what does it mean, k'machal ben drusai? It has to be minimally edible. When it's roasted, his whole point is that it's not edible. And adrabah, if it were edible, then you'd have the problem that that's mishalatum. So manufshuch, it seems problematic. Why does that roasting help you if the roasting didn't do anything, if it didn't make it edible? And if it didn't make it edible, it's still a guy that's doing the roasting. So it seems like a very difficult hatter to understand that the Marsham is quoting. That's a separate discussion also with the Machal Ben Drusai, that let's say, is the din that a Jew has to cook it to the point of Machal Ben Drusai, or is it that it can't be cooked by the guy, right, to that point? I mean, let's say a monkey does it, right? So is that something that would be, that's just a Maisa Kof, is halachic terminology. I'm not calling Jews or non-Jews monkeys, right? That's I'm getting into the same trouble my Rebbe got into. Right. So what's the din? Is it a din in the Jew doing it, in the non-Jew doing it, or is it a din in a Jew participating? But anyway, we'll get to that, God willing, sometime later this week. So that's the heter. Those are the heterim that he gives. There is a well-known tshuva of the Panim Me'iros. The Panim Me'iros was the I put a little biography from the Bar Ilan CD over here, source number 20. But the Panim Me'iros, I think he was a grandfather of the Piskei Tshuva, if I'm not mistaken, because the Piskei Tshuva, I think, always quotes Mori Zakeni. Yeah, Adoni Avi Zakeni, right? Panim Me'iros. So the Panim Me'iros writes as follows. He was not asked just about Bishalakam and coffee. He was asked about a case that I was actually asked the Shaila once. Someone told me they were going up to visiting day for their kids in camp, and they decided instead of fighting the traffic Sunday morning and having to travel both ways Sunday morning, they were going to go up to one of the local hotels over Shabbos up there in the mountains, and that way it will be an easier trip to camp on Sunday morning. And they were there on Shabbos, and in the lobby there were coffee machines where coffee was already made. Now clearly they didn't make it for the Jewish guest, they made it for anybody who wants it. And they didn't make more coffee, they don't think they made more coffee because of the Jews who are staying there. They probably just always put up a pot, and that's it. And there's a pot of coffee there for anyone who wants it. So the person said, would there have been a problem with me drinking that coffee on Shabbos morning? A guy cooked that coffee, right? So forgetting, there's two parts of the Shaila, obviously. There's the Maisa Shabbos part of it, and there's the Bishalakum part of it. So Panim Me'iros discusses both parts. He does not like it, does not think you should drink it. And what I want to focus, obviously, on is his Bishalakum analysis of the coffee. He says, even forget the Shabbos, you got Bishalakum problems over here. And he's machmir on Bishalakum of coffee. Why? So he says, that which you want a taina, that it's not lelafis bo sapas, he says, the exact taina that we had yesterday. He says, ein zeh mekuvar klal. I'm sorry, he says, we'll start in the fourth or fifth line in the Panim Me'iros. It says, V'nei b'tam rishon shekasav, she'enu bal lafis esapas, Kol zelafi darko shehisigalatur resh simin kuf yud gimel. He says that which the prichadash wants to taina, that it's not meant to be lalafis po sapas, that's all the prichadash lishitasa where he has a problem with the tour. Why? What does the tour say? Shakasva tour lalafis sapas olufar peres. Umashma sharatzalomar, sha'af sha malachim einu malafdin bo sapas. The Torah holds that as long as it's Olal Shulchan Malachim, you don't need anything else. It doesn't need to be Lafis Pasapas. As long as it's Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's going to be a problem. And the Prichadash doesn't like that. The Prichadash says, no, it's got to be Lafis Pasapas in order to be a problem. So says upon him Eros, I agree with the Torah. I think the Torah was right. Lafis Pasapas is Lav Dafka. All you need it to be is something to be Olal Shulchan Malachim. Next he says, that which you want to bring a raya from Tosfos, mid batli tavua legabi mayim linyan bracha, that when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, tavua is batel to the mayim, right? In terms of Hilchos Brachos, when it comes to beer, so too when it comes to bishalakum on beer, Tosfos said on Lamed Aleph and Beis, right, that there's no bishalakum on beer because the tavua is batel to the mayim. So hu adin, you want to say the same thing by coffee? So he says, problem is, the Bach already is Shadda Beinarga. The Bach already has a problem with that. And that is, that Tam Da Tavua B'Teh L'Gabi Mayim U'Kasha Ma'od, Shreya Tavua Hu Iker, V'Ispe K'Zayis B'Teh Achilus Pras, Ve'in Raya Mi Masha Mevarchan Shakol Nia B'Devaro, De'eno Ela L'Fi Shenishtana Mi B'Riyasa Ve'in Atavua Be'en. He says these are two totally different halachos. The halacha of what bracha you make on something and the halacha of whether it's subject to bishalakum have no connection to each other. So the Bach rejects this equation that Tosfos makes. You know why you make a shakal on it? Because it's no longer be'en. The grain or the coffee beans or whatever is no longer be'en. It's no longer there. So that's why you're going to be able to make a shahakal on it. But in terms of bishal akum, so it's still going to be a problem with bishal akum. That has nothing to do with bishal akum. He still created for you a mashke chashuv. He still gave you a chashuv, a thing that you can have a karas hatov for. So it shouldn't be subject to the same distinctions. So the Panam Iro says, Nishma mizeh sha'af below is her Shabbos, hayaroyu val nefesh lachmer sholishos hakofi meyakum. He says, even forgetting the Surah Shabbos, you have a problem anyways of drinking coffee that's made by non-Jews. Now, the last thing I wanted to do in terms of coffee is I wanted to go through with you, I put in the last pages of the Maror Makomos, my brother's notes from when he learned Bishalakum. So he had a brief analysis of the issue of coffee and Bishal Akum, and I just wanted to go through it with you. I happen to agree with the first half of his analysis and disagree with the second half. I shouldn't have told you which part I was, which you agree with, but let's take a look. So he starts out, this was obviously written 10 years ago, Chav Chesel Tavshin Samach, so he was younger at the time, I don't know, 26, I guess, at the time. Anyway, so he writes as follows: the Gemara of Odzar Lamed Aleph and Beis Kasva Tosos, right? Our Tosos of Odzar Lamed Aleph and Beis that we've quoted many times, that beer that's made shel tamarim or shel tavua is not a problem with bishal akum. Why? Two reasons. Number one, ain ol shulchan malachim. Number two, just like the grain is batel to the water legabe hilchos brachos, it's also batel to the water legabe bishalakum. Those are the two reasons. And he says, Re'isi pischi tshuvas if cut nalav b'shem apana me'iros, that the nafkamina between the reasons is going to be about coffee. Because both of those reasons won't apply to coffee, only one of them will. The idea that shechor is batel legabe amayim, you could say that by coffee as well, that it's batel. The second reason, that it's batel to the water, that's true of coffee as well. It's also batel to the water, and therefore not bishalakun. But the idea of Sheikhar Eina Ola al Shulcha Malachim, not true about coffee. Coffee is Ola al Shulcha Malachim. And therefore, coffee should be subject to bishalakum. If the whole heter for beer is that beer is not Ola al Shulcha Malachim, coffee's not going to have that heter. If the heter for beer is that it's batel, coffee will have that heter as well, even more so, because as we said, the unlike beer, the beans don't actually stay in the liquid. However, he says, Habach reshim kuf yudalid docha hatam sheini shalatosvos. The Bach rejects Tosfos' idea that the water is, that the beans are buttled to the water. And he says, you can't bring a raya from the fact that you mevarich shakol niya bedvar al sheikhar. He said, like we just read in the Panamiros, because that's nishtanim, that's the brachas adin, because it's nishtanim ibriyaso. Nothing to do with hilchas bishalakum. So he thinks that you can't compare them to each other at all. And therefore, he writes, lefize nira, shehu adin kofi, ein lismol chaltam zeh, you can't be somech on either of the reasons that you have by beer. Not the reason that it's not all shulchan lachem, because coffee is all shulchan lachem, and not even the reason, according to the Bach, not even the reason that the tavua is bottled to the mayim, because the Bach disagrees with that. He thinks Tosfos is wrong about that. He thinks it's not bottled to the mayim. Legabe hilchos brachos, it's bottled to the mayim. But not legabe hilchos bishalakum. So the Bach says, beer we could be makel with for other reasons. He says beer is, first of all, the grain is nechal kmo shulchai, and it's not al shulchan malachim. So beer, we have those reasons, but none of those reasons apply to coffee. So according to the Bach and the Panami Eros, coffee should be aser. So what my brother wants to do in this little piece over here is to try to show that whichever reason you go with, coffee is really going to be mutter. Meaning, whatever your heter for beer is, whether you go with reason number one of Tosfos, that it's not olal shulchan malachim, you could argue coffee is also not olal shulchan malachim. And if you go with reason number two of Tosfos, that the coffee is batel, that the beans are batel to the water, just like by the beer, that the tvua is batel to the water, by coffee also, that's a valid svara, even in hilchos bishalachim, to say it's batel to the water, and you can rely on it. So he goes in reverse order. He starts with the Bittel argument. And he says, how can we reject the argument of the Bach? The Bach, after all, seems to say that the din of Bittel should only be in Legabi Hilchos Brachos. So he writes in the bottom paragraph on this page 14 over there. Ulam, lanias daiti nira. I think we could apply both of the svaros that Tosfos has for coffee. Number one. That which the Bach says that the grain is batel to the beer, mishum shakasav arash b'psachim v'ifsik b'shulchan aruch aruchayim tzim tuf men beisif. Hey, tuf men beis is in Hilchos Pesach, right? So where does the issue of beer and whether the grain gives tam and whether it's going to aser the mashke because the grain is giving tam into the, where does that come up? Hilchos Pesach. Now, what does it say? Shashoa osa bePesach over, that if someone owns beer over Pesach, it's in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yematzei. Vashose chayiv kares, and someone who drinks beer is chayiv kares. Mishum deika kezayis bekdeach chilus pras, because you have a kezayis of the grain within the kedeach chilus pras of the beer. Zelo shayich gabi kofi shari in bok zayis bekdeach chilus pras. So he says, even if you want to take that argument of the Bach, that doesn't work for coffee. That's true about beer. That by beer, it's going to be considered that the grain is there because you have mixed in there kezayis bekleachilus pras. It's simply not true by coffee. You'll want to tie up a tam ke'ikr, that you have the tam of the bean in there by coffee. So you should say that the bean isn't batel because as long as the tam is there, it's not batel. That's not true either in hilchos bishalakum. If you need to be mevatel something that's bishalakum, what do you need to be mevatel it? You don't have to be mevatel the tam. It's batel barov. If you have something that's bishalakum, then gets mixed in with something else, it's batel barov. So even if the tam is in there, it's not going to matter. So I think he does a fairly good job of explaining why, even if you accept the Bach's argument about beer, that the grain is not batel in the water, coffee is a different story, and the beans are batel in the water, and that's why you would have that heter for coffee. That's the part I agreed with. The other part, where he tries to taina that coffee is really not olal shulchan malachim, I have some trouble with. Maybe you'll see it more his way. On the next page, he says, va'od nira, da'afim neima k'sfaras habach, da'rak l'inin bracha shayich s'farazu, yesh lahatir coffee me'atam she'in olal shulchan malachim. Still, you could be makel with coffee that it's because it's not olal shulchan malachim. You'll taina, but it is. You'll taina that if you go to a state dinner, they're going to offer you after dinner coffee or tea. They'll ask you your preference, caffeinated, decaf, whatever. They're going to offer you coffee. And it's therefore it's a mashka chash of the nasi amadina umizam chaverim alav. You do say, come over, we'll have some coffee together. If you're going to define all shulchan aruch as something you would invite people for, you invite people over for coffee. You go out to a coffee house and have coffee with them, where the food that you eat is buttled to the coffee. The main thing, the whole place exists for the coffee. Starbucks happens to serve whatever, cakes and other things also, but the whole reason the place exists is because of the coffee. So how do you say it's not all Shulchan Malachim? I don't know, so see if you agree. Achein, yesh kama dvarim ha'olim al Shulchan Malachim, ela dahada olin eino machmas chashivusa. Says there are things that are all al Shulchan Malachim, but not because they're chashuv. L'dugma, mayim nami olavam al Shulchan Malachim. You could probably get a glass of water at a fancy restaurant and at a state dinner if you want a glass of water, right? If the king's not in the mood for wine, come, so drink a nice bottle of spring water. So you're going to say water is all shulchan malachim because the king would drink it? And let's keep in mind, there is one shita in the Gemara, obviously not accepted the halacha, that if something's all shulchan malachim, even if it's edible raw, it would still be a problem of bishlakum. So you want to tell me that shita would hold? Mayim is a problem of bishlakum. You're right. Mayim's not a problem anyway because you could drink it uncooked, right? But even so, what if you hold like the shita that says it's all taliyam, whether it's all shulchan malachim? You think anyone ever held mayim is all shulchan malachim? Ubar da'af l'man diyomer zuim chime makum mayim mutu l'shtos k'mvor b'raisa l'amchasam beiz. It's fairish in the b'raisa. If you heat up water, everyone would agree that you're allowed to drink it. So why isn't mayim called olal al shulchan malachim? A king would drink it. So he says, what you see from there is alma shekol shalol al shulchan malachim rak mishum hechrecho shelo shayich lahavi mashka chashuv yosel lemalei mekomo. What you see is something that's olal al shulchan malachim not because it's so chashuv, but because it's the best available option for what you're looking to accomplish. Ve'eno davar chashuv be'etzem eino mechlal hadvarim shalol al shulchan malachim. So that's not called something that's all shulchan malachim. It's just not bad, and it's the best available option. So that's why you use it, not because it's chashuv in its own right. V'lachein b'kafi nihi de chashuv shemizamnin alav, haynu rak shemizamnin alav im ugo suchiyotzi bo. Says Starbucks wouldn't exist without the cake. That's true, but he says not. Coffee is the same thing. It's only chashuv when you invite someone over for coffee, and all you serve them is coffee. They're going to be wondering what you invited them over for, right? They're going to be saying, come on, really, you really just meant only coffee? I thought there would be something, some cake, something else, right? There's some other options. Coffee is only chashuv, it's not chashuv. It's only because that's what you have with cake. So that's what he wants to taina. So he says, therefore, he thinks that even with the olal shulchan malachim, coffee is not olal shulchan malachim. Okay, personally, I humbly disagree. I don't see it that way. Maybe it's because of the way that coffee drinking has changed in the last 10 years and the amount of money that they charge for a cup of coffee, whatever it is. I think that reasonable minds can disagree about that one. Yeah.
The coffee being served nowadays, in the most part, it's like on the go. Like people are like going to Starbucks and a coffee and then driving somewhere.
Yeah, you have it on the go also, but that doesn't mean that it's not also all shulchan malachim. If you go to a state dinner, they're definitely offering, they're being mechabed you with coffee. People still invite each other over for coffee, for tea, right? So they do. I think so. Mizamnin alav is the definition of the Rambam, the mizamnin alav, that you would invite somebody for. If it's chashuv enough, that you wouldn't say, you know, come over to my house for some M&Ms.
No, I'm saying, but for a steak dinner, you're not inviting them for coffee. It's just the end of the meal.
Right, but I'm saying there's two dinners. There's state dinner that would be served at a state dinner in the first place, and then there's mezamin alav amongst your chaverim. How do you know what would be served at a state dinner? Usually the things that you would invite somebody over for are the kinds of things that would be served at a state dinner. Yeah.
Within that, at the state dinner, let's say, it would be like fresh coffee from fresh beans and whatever, but dehydrated, whatever, might not be all.
So that's a good point. Instant coffee might be different. But when you go to a restaurant or even a gas station and you get the coffee, it's not instant coffee. It's ground up beans. They brew it. Right, so you're right. Instant coffee might be different, although instant Starbucks coffee happens to be very good. It's a, okay, good idea to have if you ever really want to shake for like 4 hours. Let's move on to the next topic. So as I mentioned yesterday, there are three more topics within Bishlakum. Topic number one is how much Jewish participation does there have to be, and we're just going in the order of the Gemara. That's Shulchan Aruch pretty much goes in the order of the Gemara, so we're going to go in the order of the Gemara as well. So the Gemara's next discussion is about how much Jewish participation there has to be in the Bishul in order to save you from the problem of Bishul Akum. So that's then we're going to get into what constitutes Bishul, and then finally the Kalim of Bishul Akum is a much shorter topic. Okay, so this whole packet is all about the first of those three topics. I lost my first page here. This whole packet is about the first of those three topics, which is how much Jewish involvement is going to help in terms of the Bishul Akum. Just one thing, I had notes on it. All right. I'll do without the notes for a day. How much Jewish involvement is going to help you in terms of Bishul Akum? So first thing to see is the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, toward the bottom of the page, the Gemara from Amar Rav Yehuda, four lines into the wide lines, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He niach yishol basar al gabi chalm. Now, what's very important over here is keep in mind, as you go through the halacha, you have to keep in mind the Gemara, because it's a little karav zelzeh. I mean, it's very rare that you have. Normally, as you go through the halacha, you could sort of imagine how you went through the transition through the Rishonim to get to the Shulchan Aruch, to get to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you read the Ramah in Hilchos Bishul Akum in Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, and you've read the Gemara, it literally sounds like the Ramah was just missing a page. I mean, just in terms of how you get from one to the other. So it's important to read the Gemara, and then we're going to have to obviously figure out how this translates into the halacha. So if you look at the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hiniach Yishol Basar Al Gabi Gechalim. So a Jew leaves meat on his barbecue, let's say, Uba Ovid Chav Mahafach Bo, and the guy comes and turns over the food, Mutter, it's going to be Mutter. So says Gemara, Hei Chidami, what's the case where it's going to be Mutter? If you're going to say that even had the guy never come along, it would have gotten cooked from the Jew just leaving it there, that the Jew would have left it there, maybe it wouldn't have been quite as good because it wouldn't have been as evenly cooked, but it would have gotten cooked eventually had the Jew left it there. So in Peshitta, then of course, the guy didn't really do anything. He didn't help you that much. So of course that's going to be mutter. Elolav di ilo hafach, lo hava bashil. But the point is, no, that if the item would not have been turned over, it never would have gotten cooked. So then the Gemara says, well, my mutter bishuli shalav dechav minu. Well, that's bishul akum. That's a problem. So rule number one you see from here, who turned on the fire here in this case? It doesn't say, but pasha pshat is it's a Jew. The Jew's the one who started the cooking. Who put the food on the fire? A Jew. And he started doing the cooking. And then a guy just comes and flips it over. It's enough to make it aser, because the way the Jew left it, it wouldn't have completed the bishul. Right? That's what the Gemara is assuming for davar pashut. That if the Jew doesn't do something, he doesn't have to have actually done the entire bishul, but what he has done has to have been something that could have accomplished the entire bishul. Right? Whatever he did, as he left it, it has to at least be that it could have accomplished the entire bishul. So that's number one. The Gemara assumes davar pashut that it's going to be aser. So what's the case that it's mutter, and it's not so obvious that it's mutter? The guy makes it cook more quickly. It would have cooked, but it would have taken 2 hours. The guy comes and he speeds up the process a little bit. I might think that the guy's his help is significant. His contribution to the cause is significant because he made the bishul go much quicker. Kamash Malan, that's not significant, right? And that it's still not going to be a problem of Bishul Akum. What does the word hafach mean in this Gemara? He was hafach what?
Actual meat, no?
Right, so Pashup Shad to the meat, right? We're going to see a discussion in the postgame. What if he's hafach the coals? He's not hafach the meat? So would that have a different halacha, same halacha? Does it make a difference? Is there some din in handling the food itself? That makes it worse, better?
Yeah.
What?
The
if the whole din is a din in making this cooking process quicker, you're right, should be the same. But maybe it's some sort of tziruf. It's making the cooking process quicker is not significant enough when you were hofeich something, right? We don't know. We don't know what the... So again, when we read through the Gemara, I'm just trying to put points in your mind to think about as we go through the halacha, and then we'll see how this all plays out. Just try to, you know, highlight the points that we need to think about. Anything that's already cooked to machal ben drusai, there's no problem with bishalakum. How much is machal ben drusai? So the famous machal is rishonim, we know from Hilchos Shabbos, a third or a half. So by bishalakum, we're mekum. So if a Jew cooks it to one third cooked, that's for sure enough. Right, by Bishlakum we're for sure going to be mekel. It's a din d'rabbanan, so we're definitely going to be mekel. So anything that's kamachal ben drusai is ein bo mishum bishlakum ha'eno kamachal ben drusai. But it sounds like if the Jew didn't actually cook it to the point of machal ben drusai, yesh bo mishum shulei avdechavim. So what's the problem? Makes it sound like if a Jew left it in a way that it could have been cooked had it stayed there, but it didn't actually get cooked to machal ben drusai. The guy comes when it's just barely, you know, it's been on the grill for 2 minutes. So it's not nowhere near Machal Ben Drusai and his Hofech. So it sounds from here it's going to be Aser. But we just said before that that's going to be Mutter as long as it could have been cooked at some point and the Jews just left it there. So Zgmar Hasim Kagon da Osfe Besilta Vishakle Ovid Kochavim va Osfe Betanura. What does that mean? That the Jew, presumably means took it off the fire, put it in flour of some sort, and then the guy came back and put it back on the fire. That's where the Jew needs to have at least left it, kamachal ben drusai. But if it stays on the fire the entire time, the Jew could have left it right after it started cooking and the guy could immediately turn it over. It's still going to be okay. As long as it would have been cooked had it stayed in the position that the Jew would have left it. When do you need it to be kamachal ben drusai? Only when the Jew took it off the fire. Does it make a difference if the Jew took it off the fire or the guy took it off the fire? The Gemara says it's the Jew that took it off the fire. Is that dafka or lav dafka? So pasha pshat, it's lav dafka. It doesn't really matter. The point is that why is this a problem if it's not yet machal ben drusai? Because a guy is taking a raw piece of food and he's putting it on the fire and cooking it. So it doesn't matter how it got off the fire in the first place while still raw. Point is it's a raw piece of food that a guy is putting on the fire for you. Right, so that's the pashup shot. So that's the pashup shot that of who took it off. That it doesn't really matter who took it off the fire. So there was something else I was thinking. Okay, yeah, I'll think of it in a second.
Can you just say that if the guy was taking off the fire, then he's like speeding up the process for the even if the
who's speeding up the process?
The guy by taking off the fire. He's
by taking it off the fire.
By him taking off the fire, he's gonna put it back on when the fire is more high. He's putting it into a different oven right now. He's putting it into test.
No, it puts on the same. I don't think it's talking about a different. Oh, also with tanur, you're right.
He's putting it into an oven. The oven is in closed heat, so that's going it's gonna cook it back by him.
So you say it's only a din because he's putting it into a different oven. What if he put it back on the same fire? What would you think then?
That would be fine.
That would be okay if he's putting it on the same fire. Why? Isn't he taking raw food and putting it on a fire?
He's not accomplishing anything. It's already starting to be cooked.
You're saying the guy is the one that caused the problem. It's like on Shabbos, you're sitting in a room that has a light on in it, and the guy walks by and turns off the light, and says, oh, I didn't realize you were sitting there, turns the light back on for you. Now, if the room did not have a light on it, and the guy turned on the light, you would not be allowed to go in. So what's the halach in this case, in Hilchos Shabbos? Guy turns off the light. Can the guy say, no, I didn't realize, I'll turn the light back on for you? Pashup Shah, I think it's Aser, no? It's Aser.
Unless you protested and like something like that, you said, no, he did it anyway.
Okay, but, right, just being nana from the malach of a guy, it doesn't matter that he's the one that put you in that situation. I don't know if it would matter that he's the one that took it off. I hear what you're saying, I hear the svara, but I'm not sure that it would matter, okay?
Sorry, just to close the Gemara, so the Gemara is saying that it was not Michael Ben Yusai, so there would be Bishal Akram.
Meaning when the Jew left it, it was...
not at Michael Ben Yusai,
right.
And he left in some kind of flour. Did he cook it at all before the Jew?
He cooked it to less than Michael Ben Yusai, a quarter cooked.
So left in some flour, then the guy took and put it in.
Exactly.
There, that's what I'm saying, that would be, there's no Bishal Akram.
Well, no, that's going to be Aser. It would only be okay if the Jew had cooked it at least to Machal Ben Drusai.
So we're rejecting the first part of the Gemara.
No, we're not rejecting it because that Gemara was talking about where the food is still on the fire when the guy comes along. So then the Jew doesn't need to have cooked it up to machal ben yosai. He just needs to have been on the fire for a minute or two.
I thought that the Gemara is clarifying the case now, because it said that you. Because the Gemara asks, like, I still don't understand why you need that case. Because you'd say that if it's machal ben yosai, then there's no bishul akum. Someone says, okay, so then it has to be less than machal.
No, the point is that it's a stira. The Gemara said at first, forget machal ben yosai, as long as you left it in a way that it could have gotten cooked had you left it there forever. Even if it's barely anything cooked, that's good enough. The guy can interfere right away. As long as you left it on a barbecue, that would have cooked it in 2 hours. So after 2 minutes, the guy could interfere. So the Gemara says, but I thought you have to at least leave it at Machal Ben Drusai. So the Gemara answers, no, you only have to leave it at Machal Ben Drusai if you left it off the fire afterwards and the guy is putting it back on.
Oh, that line is going on when he's Machal Ben
Drusai. Right.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. Tiny Namiyachi, Maniach Shal Basal Gabi Gchalamu, Ba'ovid Chav Mahafich Bo. Now, also, another thing. Is this a din lechachil or a din bediyavet? So, how does the Braisa phrase it? Maniach Shal Basal Gabi Gchalam, a Jew leaves Basra on coals, Ubovid Chav Mahafich Bo, Achi Yavo Yisol Mbesa Knesset and Mbesa Medrash, Ve'eno Choshesh. And the guy is dealing with it the whole time. You don't have to worry that maybe he did something wrong. What would you worry about? What could he have done? Apparently, this is not a basar shenasal minayin issue. It's not that he replaced the meat with something else. So what could he have done? Well, according to what we just said, if the guy takes it off the fire when it's not yet a machal ben yosai and then puts it back on, that's going to be bishul akum. So maybe you should worry that he took it off the fire. Let me ask you, we say a guy is hofech. How are you hofech something on a barbecue? So you could just roll it, or if it's a piece of steak, you know, flip it very close to the grill. What if he picks it up, you know? And it's hofech. Why am I asking that? I'm not just trying to be ridiculous. That is a big difference, l'chora. If he just rolls it right over on the barbecue, so it was never off the fire. But if he picks it up, a good 12 inches above, or, you know, above the barbecue, it can't get cooked there, no matter how long it stays there. So now it's off the fire. Then it should have the din of the silta. It should have the din of the guy coming and finding it in the flour. Right? No, just push up shot. Pashup Shah in the Gemara. The Gemara makes this chilek. Am I wrong about that? I think that the Lechor is Pashup Shah.
I don't think Gemara is driving into the fact that it was taken off, or is it the silta?
I thought it was just the fact that it was taken off. Silta's lav dafka.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
I think God just takes off the fire and flips it up. Well, it's in the air for what, like 3 seconds. It's all through for 3 seconds. So since the heat of the food, it's warm, didn't change, and the process of the cooking didn't slow down.
Ah, okay. So you're saying it's a different part. That the silta does matter in the sense that it's only if the bishul process was suspended at some point that you could then say when the guy puts it back on the fire, he's restarting the bishul process, that's going to be problematic. But if the original bishul process was never suspended, very good svar. Good. Okay, these are things to think about as we go through the Gemara. There's more to it, but we're going to have to stop now. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into this topic. Yeah.